The following program contains views that are not those of WVTC, iNetworks Communications, their subsidiaries, affiliates, or financial supporters.
Hey y'all, welcome to the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show, where we get to the root of things and apply the Word of God to every aspect of our lives. Worship, application, and read is how we declare war upon the enemy and bring the light of God and His love for us into every atmosphere. Join your host, author, and singer-songwriter, April D. Metzler, as she and a few special guests dive deep into Scripture and demonstrate the Bible in action through their testimonies. April is passionate about understanding the heart behind every subject and helping you pursue a relationship with God for a victorious life every day. Are you ready for real, candid, and vulnerable conversations about God, His Word, and His love for you? Grab your Bible, pen, and study pad, and let's visit.
Hello, 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 and welcome to another broadcast of the RSVP Show. I'm your host, April D. Metzler, and I'm here with you on the Declaring War segment here on WVTC Radio in collaboration with their station. I hope that you can jump over there and connect with them. You can find all of their content over at WVTCradio.com and link to their social platforms and go ahead and like those and follow those and all that jazz. But we are here today to dive into part 2 of John chapter 6. So if you are new here, what we do is read over the scriptures and we delve into different aspects of it as we read through it. And so we're here to worship, as in submitting ourselves before God, which is our true worship, of course. And we are just getting before the Lord and getting to know Him more in His Word. We're going to be applying the scriptures to everyday thoughts here and conversations that we have. And we're also going to be, of course, reading the scripture of the airwaves, because you know what it all boils down to is God's Word is going to accomplish that which it was sent out to do. And we find that passage in Isaiah in the Old Testament, but it still rings true today. There's nothing that returns to Him void in His Word. It just is. He is truth and it comes to fruition. And so I'm excited to be here with you today. If you are coming in on the replay, go ahead and comment hashtag replay and share your thoughts in the comments on this video. And I'll circle back around and visit with you on here. And if you haven't shared it out, go ahead and share it out and encourage someone else to dive into scripture with you on this broadcast. And of course, if you have your study pad and pen, you have come prepared like you usually do. So thank you so much for doing that and getting ready to take notes, because there's a lot of different things that come up as I go through these scriptures. And I could probably read John 6, you know, through 3, 4, 5 times, and every single time something else is highlighted. And that's what the Word of God is like. And so I encourage you in your time that you have to get before the Lord and get into His Word so you can know Him even more than you did yesterday and even more than you do right this second, because you just get that extra understanding. It says in all of our getting, make sure to get understanding in scripture. So we're going to go ahead and open this broadcast like normal with our prayer, and we're going to invite Holy Spirit in to lead us and guide us through this word and prepare us. So if our hearts and minds are prepared, you know, we're going to be clearing all that nonsense and noise out that you had throughout the week. And I don't know what you got going on, but we're just going to let it go and get before our Father and get that teachable mode switch on in our systems. Okay, you guys? All right. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the opportunity to be here in this day. Let us know more about you in these passages that are set before us. Teach us what it looks like to walk in your light and in your love, Father. Show us what it looks like to be one with you in how we walk and talk and do in our days, Father. Let us be the light in that reflects your love. Let us demonstrate what it looks like in action to walk out this word of God that's set before us. I know that there's a peace that surpasses all understanding that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, Father. And I ask for that in the name of Jesus for every listener on this broadcast and their family and the people that you have connected them with in this season, Father. May there be blessings upon each person, and we do not curse those even who curse us, but we bless them and we pray for them and we intercede on their behalf, no matter if they know you or not, Father. We don't want one to not come to the knowledge of you. We don't want one to miss out, Father. And so we ask that there be divine opportunities and connections in the week ahead, that we have the opportunity to share about your love with others and just provide those opportunities. And we thank you in advance for them. We ask that Holy Spirit be here in this moment with us as we go through this rest of John chapter 6 and lead us and guide us through these passages. Bring to our remembrance things of you that we already know in our hearts, and let this be a reiteration of your truth in these passages that lay ahead of us, Father. And we thank you and we praise your name and we worship you with all we are, Father, and we acknowledge you. Teach us what it looks like to acknowledge you in all of our ways, even more in our upcoming days ahead, Father. And it's all in the name of Jesus that we ask these things, knowing that he will do them, confident that he will do them, unwavering faith that he will do them, so that you, Father, are glorified through the Son. Amen is what we give you as agreement, our yes and amen, right, you guys? Okay, so we are picking up where we left off, John chapter 6, and then verse 37. All of this is 37 to verse 71. Like I said on the last broadcast, if you missed that, go back and catch the replay. But there are 71 verses in John chapter 6, and I just needed to break that down into two parts because of the 30-minute broadcast. It's just too short of a time to jam-pack all of that in there. I would literally just be reading scripture, and we wouldn't have any like gleaning off of it in conversation. And so I wanted to make sure we're not rushing through the Word of God, and I encourage you not to rush through the Word of God when you're in that time with him. So if you're going to commit 15 minutes, make sure that full 15 minutes is focused on the Lord without any distractions. If you're going to commit 30 minutes, again, make sure that you set that time aside and let it be without any distractions. Find a time block that doesn't have all the moving parts of your regular day-to-day going on, so that you can be still in that moment with the Father. Okay, so 37 says, "All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him who sent me." He's like, already telling you, get ready, here it goes. "That of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day." Isn't that awesome? I don't know if that even comes close to explaining what it's going to be like, but that's just a glimpse, if you will. But Jesus is making sure that everybody knows that it's God. He's the one who's behind it. God the Father is the one who is behind it, giving him the authority that he has, giving him the ability to do signs, miracles, and wonders, giving him the strength that he needs to endure through what would be, you know, the end of his physical life and the rebirth into his eternal life. And it was literally the example set before us so that we could understand that this is what it is required in order to be reconciled back to God. Jesus did it for us. and it was a gift, and it wasn't something that we deserved or earned. You know, it was just this total package, and the will of the Father who sent him, right? That all he has given me, I lose nothing. That whole thing, man, too, is just awesome. Is there was no loss. You know, there was sorrow and sadness for the people Jesus was connected with, but there wasn't loss. Everything he did ended up being a gain. There was actually more so everything he invested in on earth. There was a huge, for all of you accounting folks, a huge ROI on this situation. There's a huge return on investment. And what it is, you know, salvation. There's just so much to this, but there's nothing that he lost. If anything, he put it down and then picked it back up, you know? And so that's what scripture says too. But we're going to move on to 41, and it says, therefore the Jews were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. They were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said to them, do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught of God. And that was the quote, and they shall be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except the one who is from God. He's referring to himself in that sense, or when Jesus is talking to them. And then he said, he has seen the Father, again, referring to himself. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. So he's really trying to reconcile with them. Now, remember, take into consideration that this is one of the New Testament chapters where he makes I am statements. And this is, yes, that big I am that he's referring to when he says, I am the bread of life. He's talking about being the great I am God reference here. And if you can imagine, just put yourself in the scenario of the Jews. They saw him grow up as Joseph and Mary's son, like in the flesh. And so they're looking and perceiving this whole conversation from that perspective, as if he was, you know, born of both of them. And so it was not necessarily a bad interpretation, but they just didn't understand. They couldn't wrap their mind around it. And if anything, they were more so indignant, if you will, about the whole conversation that he was having and these statements that he was making. And it was a big deal to blaspheme God back then. And of course, they're very respectful and reverent of God and all things of God. And so for someone to be saying these things, you know, it better be true, because if it was not, you know, this is not a good thing to be saying. And so a lot of them were angered and, you know, upset, and it refers to it as grumbling among themselves. But he corrects them and tells them not to do that, and then goes on and talks about, you know, that they shall all be taught of God. It's quite interesting because they were basically, you know, dealing with the disconnect. They didn't understand, they didn't comprehend, and yet he's being so patient with them and trying to teach them and connect the dots for them. So this is also an example of Jesus's grace and his patience and long suffering toward us. As we learn the things about God, And we take those steps to practice these things that we learn. And that's what we're supposed to do. That's how what we're instructed to do. These are the things that we are supposed to obey. And so, but we don't always get them right. We mess up. It doesn't make sense. And it takes us a while. And so this is a great example of God the Father's love toward us through Jesus being that demonstration of that love, just in being gentle toward us, you know, taking his time to wait for us to catch up in our understanding. And so this is a terrific example of that. And I just want to take that and make a note of this, like go back and read over this and meditate on it. Look how patient he was with the Jews as they were upset with him, as they were angry with him, as, you know, they were trying to comprehend. Obviously, they were still sticking around and listening. So he was still having a conversation. It wasn't one-sided talking to a pole. He was talking to these people. So trying his best to help them through the learning process of this. And so he's talking, of course, remember, these are kingdom things that he's talking about, and they're earthly focused. So 52 says, then the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So now they're taking it literal, and that's not what he's meaning. And so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He's talking about Old Testament fathers of the Jewish culture. He who eats this bread will live forever. So not as the past generational fathers that ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever, if that makes sense. And so it says in 59, these things he said in the synagogues as he taught in Capernaum. So I want you to not get caught up on literal, like hyper literal, like the Jews got trapped into doing basically on their own understanding, because he's not being obviously literal in this, and it was more of an analogy in the spiritual sense. And so if you take it literal, that's going to be a little weird. I mean, we can camp out there a little bit just to be silly, but like when it all is said and done, when knowing God in your walk with God, you would know that's not what he's meaning. You know, it's just a knowing and an understanding. And that goes back to the in all our getting, make sure to get understanding. But it says for those who, in James, it talks about if for those who are needing wisdom, you know, all we have to do is ask for it and it will be given unto us. And it's not like a little bit. It uses the word liberally. And so when we're going through these scriptures and there's some struggling that's going on, this is a good example here of what it looks like for the Jews to have struggled through the understanding part of it. And instead of leaning into God and asking him for wisdom to understand and comprehend what is set before them, they actually just leaned into their own understanding. And we find that in Proverbs 3, 5 through 6, it tells us not to do that. What does it say? It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, not parts of your heart, all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all, use that word all again, all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Well, it's okay. Well, all your ways includes your thoughts. All your ways includes, you know, your deduction process, your conclusion, how you come to a conclusion, you know, your process behind that, like the steps you take to come to a conclusion, weighing, you know, theories and experiences and things that you learn, definitions, and you tie all those together. And how did you come to that conclusion? Well, that's your own way of doing things. It's not heavenly. That's not like the heavenly way of doing things. That's not how God was trying to teach them. And so, speaking of spiritual things. And so, let me see if I can pull that up. Where is that at? No, that's not it. Hold on. I was going to pull up a cross reference real quick just so you guys have it. But it's James chapter 1, verse 5, and I'm just going to read it over the airwaves just so you have it. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all. In my translation, it says, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But it says that he's going to give. God is the one who gives to all generously and without reproach. So just ask, right? Let him ask of God and ask in faith without any doubting. Very simple. And so they didn't do that in this instance. They just, again, leaned onto their own understanding. And the error of that ended up causing arguments among them. It caused dissension. It caused disunity. I mean, these are the negative consequences of those choices to lean on their own understanding instead of causing unity, instead of, you know, talking through this, instead of coming and letting us reason together, you know, come and let us reason together. This is very important. It's a together unified thing between you and God, you and Holy Spirit, you and Jesus Christ, you know, like you're seeking God, you know, first, and then all these other things, you know, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all these other things will be added unto you is what it says in Matthew. And so we want to do that instead of trying to figure all this stuff out on our own. Unlike the example here where they did that, they tried to figure it out on their own, didn't make sense, caused drama. So let's not do that. All right. So verse 60 says, therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. And so I love in scripture when especially when Jesus repeats himself and reiterates something. So if you have notes that you're taking, note that 65, right? 65 is a, where is it at? Reiteration of 44. Okay. So take 65 and 44 and do you some Bible study, you know, cross-referencing, word searching, you know, just do some meditating on this stuff and see what God has to say about what it means to come to God, right? And then have him draw you, okay? And then him being the one who sent Jesus and us coming to Jesus, like tie all that in beautifully together. But it, you know, there's a drawing on our hearts and then our response, hopefully to accept and receive, right? And that is something that is granted and orchestrated by God to us, God the Father. And then as that response is concerned, at the same time that he's drawing us, he sent Jesus, right? So we've got this whole simultaneous thing going on. He sent Jesus to us, and then our response hopefully will be to come to Jesus. And so it's this beautiful drawing and response and reciprocation, and just this pouring in and that reconciliation back to God through Christ. And so 65 and 44 in John chapter 6. Extra study points right there, buddy. Okay, so we're on 66 here, and it's talking about, this is going to be talking about the last part here. It says, As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, "You do not want to go away also, do you?" Simon Peter answered him, saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered them, "Did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil?" Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him. I find that quite interesting. And of course, that is the wrap up for this chapter, you guys. But there's so much to say of God's sovereignty in that last passage. It's like there's some passages in scripture that you can delve into, and this is just extra stuff for you as you try to connect the dots of what it means to be in Christ. Okay, I'll just say it that way because there's a lot of branches you could go down in this, but there is a handful of passages that you can look at, and it's talking about being foreknown. So he foreknew, and then it's also talking about predestined into this, and then there's results like so that he may be the firstborn of many brethren. And so when you really dive into this, you'll connect also what it means to be children of God into those passages. So do some research, do some digging on your own, get into like deep dive mode to connect those keywords and see what God has to reveal to you through that study time in him. But yeah, foreknown or foreknew, predestined, and then being a child of God, you know, firstborn of many brethren, references of Jesus being your brother, you know, different things like that. You would find those connections back through that. But it's good. I know that God will provide you some insight into those, and that is, you know, what it's talking about at the very end of this, where he talks about connecting that he is the one, God is the one that, you know, has this plan in place. He's listening to God and following him and being obedient in what he's doing. And Jesus chose those 12 disciples intentionally, although he already knew in advance that Judas Iscariot was going to betray him. So wrap your mind around that. Although he knows that this, that, or the other is going to happen, he still chooses us. And that's a huge deal. Yes, you know, we have a choice, though, to accept him or reject him. And that is also something that we can draw from that last few passages there in John chapter 6. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to another broadcast here on the RSVP show. I appreciate your time investment and love to see you guys diving into the Word of God and encourage you to continue to do that even more in the days ahead. And I look forward to visiting with you soon again. And remember that you are not alone, that God is always with you. And he loves you so very much. So, all right, you guys. Talk to you later.
The following program contains views that are not those of WVTC, iNetworks Communications, their subsidiaries, affiliates, or financial supporters.
Thank you so much for listening to this visit of the Declaring War segment by the RSVP Show. We hope these moments of reflection and stillness for victory in your pursuit of God were a blessing to you. We encourage you to continue to worship, apply, and read the Word of God every single day while today is still today. Stay connected with April at April D. Metzler through social media. New music singles and her debut music album are available to add to your favorite playlist on streaming platforms. And you can get a copy of her book wherever books are sold. Learn more about the great things she is doing to bless God and his people on her website at aprildmetzler.com. Thank you for joining this visit with us. Always remember, God loves you.
Views made on the preceding program are not those of WVTC Radio, iNetworks Communications, or their financial supporters.
Winning victory through Christ, WVTC, Allsip Chicago, and iNetworks Communications Station.